Stephen wrote my biography for me.
No, I did.
Oh, did you? Okay. So that last line about writing music makes it sound like it's going to be a lot more exciting than it will be. It's just going tonight. All the poems I'm going to read are from a collection I wrote based on the life of John Boyle O'Reilly, who's a... I did my PhD on him, so I did 4 years, so I can bore you to tears about his life later on, if so desire. But the kind of cliff note version is that he was an Irish poet and rebel in the 19th century, was sentenced to death at the age of 21, which was then commuted to life imprisonment in Western Australia. So he served 9 months there and then escaped, and ended up in Boston, where he had a sort of rags to riches story, and became a newspaper mogul and made his millions that way. And then at age 44 died of an overdose of sleeping medication. So, I mean, his life is a lot more boring than that if you add in all the other bits, but that's the most exciting part.
His medication was one.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, which was not given in the right dosages, which led to his death. So these poems are all based on his life. So I'll introduce each one with a little bit of information about it, if necessary. So while he was in Australia, he was pretty much put to work immediately on a form of chain gang building roads between all the early settlements in Australia. So this poem is about that, and it's called Road Building. Eucalyptus marginata, Swan River mahogany. I am the tallest man in Australia when I climb up into its grooved branches, cool when I stand in its razor straight shadow. I see the heat rise and phase on every horizon, feel landlocked yet seasick. I smell bushfire on the sea breeze, keep time by the sun shadow of felled trees. I prick my finger on the sawtooth and set to pushing and pulling the jarrah handle. Every inch is another tree ring year wiped out. We are road building. Eucalypt. It was easy to stand tall when no one noticed you. Not until you blocked the sun by which they were telling the time. A simple crime, like being in the path of the road from Bunbury to the Bass. Punishment being a pickaxe to the stump. Uprooted without ceremony, only a few words in a logbook. The road was a throat, you were a lump. So a lot of the poems that I wrote about this guy were probably, if I was doing myself on G Praise, it'd probably be sort of flights of fancy, where I was imagining like you're on a chain gang in Australia. What is going through a human being's head at that point? So this poem is called Reflections, and it's based on his time kind of in the Australian outback. Reflections. Each day is a scratch mark tallied to the wooden frame of my tent, and each day a happening or a finding. Today, one of the men found a lump of quartz in the dry riverbed by the latrines and brought it back wrapped in a scrap torn from his sock, mineral contraband. I show how the shape is a hexagon and how it can split light in a spectrum. He ties it to the lamp, ballroom decoration. The colours dance, hands by their sides. In the morning, like every morning, I hold my breath in the bathtub, trying to calm the water and catch my face between ripples. 8 months of not seeing myself, and trying to tell which lines are new and which are old in the split second that they are visible and distinguishable from dirty water, soap, hair, oil and scum, the reflected sun. The first time she gives me a mirror to bring back from Bunbury, how long I spend at it daily, fingering my teeth, counting molar incisor, checking for signs of decay, of falling away from myself. So I brought my like entire PhD thesis with me, and I don't I mean that less of like as a brag and more just how underprepared I was. Stephen was like, right, you've got to pick me up in half an hour. So I grabbed the only thing that I knew out of all my poems in it. So all of this part is the boring part, like if anybody wants to read it afterwards, which I can guarantee you don't. So while John Boyle O'Reilly was in Australia, a lot of the details of the story seemed very ridiculous to me whenever I read them back in history books, where I thought, how could you not see that coming? So he was on this chain gang, and because he was educated, his superiors allowed him to deliver letters between his chain gang and back to the towns surrounding it. And he was given a horse, which seems ridiculous as well. I guess like, if you're in Western Australia, you probably got nowhere to go. You know, they didn't expect anybody to escape. But this allowed him to meet a lot of people in the towns around him, including one woman who was the daughter of his warder, who in true 19th century fashion he then fell in love with. So there's a lot of poems about her in this collection. And this is one of them, and it's called Daily Gong. I am explaining the difference between civil and nautical dusk, about 6 degrees. Between us, about 2 feet. And by the time I mention the correct use of a sextant, she shuts me up with a kiss. The sun goes, we both go by the stars. Wildflowers. When she resides, there are wildflowers in the window. Albany blackbutt, coral vine, Swan River myrtle, rose benjamin. I ride to Bunbury from the Vass in record time with letters from her father burning a hole in my pocket. She reads slowly, asks questions occasionally, and then, arms folded, watches me shave in a pearl basin from the kitchen. The razor crosses over on the maiden's skin and draws blood from where my neck begins. She disappears to return with a towel and silently, gently dabs at the cut. Her other hand holds my head back, fingers at my hairline, her palm pressed lightly against my temple. One hand tied down, I draw the blade across my arm with the other. Before she marries, I will make her a widow. Where she resides, there are wildflowers in the window. Ruby bulrush, scarlet runner, rosemary, basket flower. Hands. Yours, like a sister's or a mother's, soft and unworked, someone's daughter's contraband. Yours, specifically the right one, tracing not the lines of my palm, psychic, but the veins on its back. Deep blue and full as if to burst. Seeking not the future, which you will not have, and we know it, but the now, me holding you. Mine, the left one, in a half fist, first finger and thumb in a lazy capital L, scooping out porpoise, gone as fast as we see them. You rest your cheek on my finger, like a gun sight, one eye closed, and ask me to point to Ireland. My hands like two meat hooks on the rim of a bathtub, hanging slash meat to cure. I never told you about that. That's the other detail I wish you told you about. While he was there, he also tried to kill himself on numerous occasions. Just to bring a bit of levity to the occasion. But for a little bit, like it's an almost like happy ending. You know, he does go and make millions, and then eventually kills himself. You know, so not for one to try it. But this next song is called our next song. Next poem is called
Maybe Bob Dylan, are
you? I wish. This is called Tools, and it's another one about moves on this rope. So I prefaced this with a few lines from one of his own poems, which are not very good, but these are a few lines that are a bit more choice from him. I would not love again, even had I still the part given. I should not risk its pains and fears, ere though its joys were taste of heaven. What causes me pain? Is it the sound of the hacksaw, teeth set in waves, cleaving roots like bone marrow or new hay bales, the root becoming fresh cut flesh, waiting to be flooded with new blood? Or perhaps it is the sight of the pickaxe, wedged underneath something ancient and once abiding, the tree stump of a felled jarrah, oddly sliced by an uneven two-man saw. Perhaps it is his voice, echoing his daughter's, soft rise, hard fall, nothing special but not forgettable. He does not tell me to take my time, no special cases. He knows something, everything maybe, still won't look me in the eye. Immediately following that poem, there's a page that just says 1844 to 1890, so there's a chunk of time that we can skip it. I'm going to finish with one last one here.
Two more?
Yeah. So he spent about 3 weeks on a beach in Western Australia waiting for his ship to come pick him up. And this is one of the poems from that time. Prefaced by some lines from a book by Thomas McCarthy Fennell, who was another prisoner in Australia, and this is his words about Australia. Everything in Czech where they eat and relish, kangaroos, possums, lizards, serpents, reptiles, and in a smaller fry of animals and fowl, they take special delight. I learned early on to close in on words, to take vowel and consonant captive. Quokka, numbat, potaroo, diddler. Their prints are fresh every morning. Some kind of subtle rodent warning that here nighttime is better for living. I become nocturnal and herbivorous, adjust my spinal cord to the hammock and my feet to the heat of the rock floor. I learn to pack a pipe tighter so that the tobacco burns slower, kindles longer into the night. On the second day, without food or water, I follow the tracks to a quokka nest and smoke it out. Wait for the inevitable exodus and then whack. Stun a big one, slice neatly into the neck till it bleeds out, then eat quick. I'll finish with this one. It's called How to Skim a Stone, which should be fairly universally understood. Pick out a good one, smooth and flat, that will lift and swivel and fall like a seabird hunting. Cock your head side on, one eye shut tight like a clam. Whip your elbow towards the surf, let go, and count the bounces on one inward breath. Thanks.